Lord, of a truth, when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord, we were glad. Lord, we come into your presence with gladness, with joy. And Father, we come to look to you for fresh mercy. Under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, we come to ask, Lord, fresh mercy and unction for myself, my heart, and my lips, Lord, and also for every single one under the sound of my voice, so that, Lord, I will minister your word this morning in purity, in clarity, in power, Lord, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, so that your word, Lord, will do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So truly we will be fruitful and multiply. We will replenish in godliness and subdue in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, we ask for mercy. Mercy to be concise, to be precise. Lord, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, as inspired and led by you in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, as your word goes forth, I also pray, under the covering of our fathers, that, Lord, you will back these words. That everywhere it goes, Lord God, unto the ends of the earth, to break yokes, Lord, to heal bodies, Lord, to set captives free, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, so that our lives be well pleasing unto you in the name of Jesus. We say, thy kingdom come, O Lord, in our service today. Let all of your will be done, because we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God so much for the privilege to be under our fathers. And it's a great privilege for me once again to bring the word. I want to thank Pastor and Mommy really specially for their love and their example, their prayers that continually is changing us. I'm sure you can see it in yourself that you are changing every day. Amen. You're getting more patient every day. You're getting more meek and more humble every day. And it is because of the apostolic covering. The Bible says that, Lord, these two golden vials know that empty out the power of God into our lives. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, Mommy. And our prayer always is that you will see the travail of your soul and you will be satisfied. You'll be first partaker of the fruits of the overcomer vanguard in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going into the Bible study. This is our Bible hour, and we're going straight into the Bible study. And we're in the book of Galatians. We began this in our last lesson, and we saw in our last lesson that the book of Galatians was written about AD 49 by the Apostle Paul. And it was written to address the problem of legalism. Legalism is when we seek to be justified by things that we do, external observances, you know, what you wear, you know, what you eat, you know, and things like that. You know, righteousness cannot come from what we do, because it cannot remove the sin nature. Your actions, the Bible says righteousness cannot come by the keeping of law. Our actions cannot rid us of the sin nature. So we cannot be perfect by doing so anything. What is going to make us righteous is faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that gives us access to the blood of Jesus that takes away the sin. And then it replaces it with the life of God, which is the nature of God. And then we have the power to be like God. Amen? So that was the reason why he wrote this epistle, that with external ceremonial observances cannot justify us. And you know, it's an application to us today. You cannot judge a person by what they wear, how they look like, the kind of clothes, the kind of car, you know. You cannot judge whether they have God's approval by external things. That's what he's saying. You have to judge it by the fruit that comes out of their lives, what they say, you know, how they live. The Bible talks about the manner of, you know, the manner of my life. You know, you have to know how they live. That's what makes them justified. You know, don't judge them by wealth. You don't judge them by how many churches. You know, this is very important to understand that. And we also saw last time that God has set apostolic and prophetic fathers in the church whose lives are patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important to understand that. And it's patterned in three main areas. Firstly, in character. They are like him in purity, in humility. Their singular focus and purpose is to please God. It is to do the will of God. It is to see the kingdom. It says, I have come in the volume of the books to do your will. Not to be rich. Now, doing his will make you rich. But the fundamental thing is to do his will. Amen. All right. So that's in character, in intercession, and in the ministry of the word of God. So we saw that. And that allows them to be a conduit pipe for the power of God to be released in the lives of men. And that's very important. We call that power covering. It's the power of God, but it is coming from God through them to you and I. Amen. And that covering is important because it provides protection from the evil that is in the present world. That's what it was saying. Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 2, 3. Now, that's what it was talking about last time. Next verse. Thank you. Next verse. Right. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now, you must agree with me that the present world is evil. It has always been evil, but the evil is on a new level. It's a new level of evil. And the Bible says that God has already beforehand, hallelujah, seen ahead and made a provision to protect us from that evil. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's no need to be afraid of the evil. All right. You are cocooned in an ark of the power of God. And that's what covering does. It protects. That's the first thing, to protect us from that evil. Then to lay in each of us a strong foundation. That's the second purpose. Lay a strong foundation upon which we are now able to grow into the fullness of Christ. That's very important. And then that allows us to inherit the glory of God, reap the harvest of the nations, and then close the age. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. We're not here to go to heaven. We're here to do some work. There's some work we need to do to allow God to move on to the next thing that he wants to do. And he cannot do it outside of us. Amen. So we're working with God. So we submit to those in authority over us. We get protected. We receive divine nourishment. No, we receive correction and discipline. And then we begin to grow upon that foundation. And we build with gold and silver. Nothing less. We're not talking about wood. We're not talking about hay or stubble. It's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, mommy. Good to have you. I'm fully supported now. There's no shaking. Mommy is on my side. Jesus is on my side. You are on my side. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so we were saying that God has sent us apostolic fathers whose lives are patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ in intercession, okay, in character, and then in the ministry of the word, okay? And their job is to like wise master builders, you know, apart from protecting us from the evil that is in the world, they also provide us a foundation. And we now build on that foundation in gold. And that really just really describes our adherence and our obedience to instruction. How much you stay faithful to the instruction of the fathers. That's really what determines gold, you know. And we are all going to be gold in Jesus' name. And then we saw in our last lesson as well that this epistle was exposing people in the church who pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by handling the word of God deceitfully to lure us away from apostolic instruction. They changed the gospel. What does it mean to pervert? To pervert something means to distort it or to corrupt it from its original state. So it's not in the original state anymore, and it's not going to go the original course that it was destined to go because it has been perverted. You know, and that's what the devil was trying to do at that time. And he's still trying to do the same thing today. Bible says, take heed, my son, you know, and cease to hear instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. We saw that last time in Proverbs 19:27. Very important. We have to stay with instruction, you know, of the fathers. And that apostolic instruction puts us on the highway of holiness, the way of love, you know, and changes the trajectory of our lives. You know, what would have ordinarily been, the Bible says that, you know, I said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High, yet you shall die like men. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. We're not going to die like men. We're going to actually become God-men. And that's the change in trajectory of why we're Christians. We're Christians not to be ordinary men. We're Christians so we can walk with God, enjoy communion and fellowship with God, get to know God, and in knowing God, get to become, have the authority, grow into, God can entrust the authority and the power of God without measure unto us. And then we can enforce God's dominion in our lives, in our homes, in our nations, and in the nations of the world. And we saw in Psalm 149, verses 4 to 9, we saw that what I've just said. Now, let's look at Psalm 149 from verse 4. Say, for the Lord, let's read together. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So that beauty there is the beauty of his holiness, the beauty of his glory. That salvation there is the total salvation, full salvation. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. That's the salvation he's talking about, the full salvation, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and all the blessings that come thereby. That's what he's talking about. And that is the portion of his people. Next verse. Amen. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Next verse. Next verse. So we see that the first thing you see that in verse 4 and 5 is that's the communion part of our relationship with God. As you commune with God, as you fellowship with God in prayer, in the word, you know, God begins to teach us meekness. He begins to teach us lowliness and then help us to maintain it. And then on top of that, now begin to beautify us with his salvation. Amen. And now fill us with joy and with glory. And then we now get to the other side, the high praises of God in our mouth, a two-edged sword in our hand. Now is the dominion part. So one part is the priestly part, the other part is the kingly part. You go, one part is the communion part, the other part is the dominion part. So both parts are our portion, you know, but you cannot get the dominion part except you are found faithful in the communion part. Amen. And that's what God is inviting us to do. Next verse. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Next verse. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Next verse. That now begin to beautify us with his salvation. Amen. And now fill us with joy and with glory. And then we now get to the other side, the high praises of God in our mouth, a two-edged sword in our hand. Now is the dominion part. So one part is the priestly part, the other part is the kingly part. You go, one part is the communion part, the other part is the dominion part. So both parts are our portion, you know, but you cannot get the dominion part except you are found faithful in the communion part. Amen. And that's what God is inviting us to do. Next verse. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Next verse. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Next verse. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have some of his saints. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. That's God's plan for us, brethren. And we must live, they must live and walk in that reality. Amen. So we're now going to continue from verse 9 this morning. Let's read verse 9. Thank you. Galatians chapter 1 in verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, we've spoken about people that pervert the gospel. And we saw in our last lesson of the example of Achan, who brought a curse upon himself and his loved ones. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. All right? But when we disregard instruction or change instruction or change the word of God, we're bringing a curse upon ourselves. And this is very important for people that are leaders in the body of Christ. It's very important to stay with Christ, the cornerstone. Stay with the word of God and handle the word of God in all sincerity and all gravity and humility, and not add your meaning to it. Look at Revelation chapter 22 verse 18. It has consequences, no? And it's not our portion, but it's important to preach it and to mention it. Say, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, talking about the word of God, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Perversion is to add or take away. We have no right to do that. And there are consequences. Next verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's anything from falling short of a destiny to premature death to going to hell. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But the point we're making here is that it's important to repent. If we were given to perverting the word of God, not to making it say what you want it to say, and not taking what it is saying at face value. And Bible says, the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know, you let the scripture interpret itself, and then you submit what you receive to those in authority over you, so that you are sure that you are staying on the straight and the narrow way. That's what he's talking about, okay? So that we should be careful that we don't allow Satan. No, Satan was the first one that perverted instruction. God spoke to Adam and Eve. He said, eat of the fruit of every tree except the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he put the two trees, good, knowledge of good and evil, and tree of life in the middle of the garden. And Satan came and told Eve, did God say? That's perversion. And then distorted what God said. You will not die. You will not die. And there are people in the body of Christ that are saying the same now. There will be no consequences. You don't have to do that. No, it's wrong. It's wrong because ultimately, it's perversion. And that's why he's cursed. And he's going to hell. And he's trying to get as many people to go along with him. But we are not going to go with him in Jesus' name. He'll go alone, and himself and anybody else who chooses to go with him. But we're preaching so that we can extricate ourselves, you know, from that deception that Satan often brings in, you know, to deceive. Because that's what he did to Eve. He deceived Eve. But Adam, with his eyes open, you know, in sentiment, followed his wife. He was not supposed to be like that, as we will see later on as we look at the word of God. So it's very important that we stand to on the wholesome word of God. Bible talks about that the whole counsel of God. That's what the Bible talks about. We stay with that, okay? Then we go on, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, as Pastor has said this very many times, ministers are servants of God. They're not servants of the people. Now, they serve the people, but they are servants of God. They are looking to the interest of God in the lives of the people. You know, and they are not supposed to allow what the people say or like or think to influence or sway what God has said to them. Amen. That's the will of God. And many times, brethren, it's not easy to do that. You know, in the sense that there's a spiritual force, as we'll see, you know, that is coming against people, making it difficult. You know, in this Galatian church, for example, this wave of error has spread in the church. You know, and people were following this legalistic way of serving God. You know, and Paul was like a lone voice in the wilderness, but he was prepared to please God and not men. So he spoke out against it. And you know, when you speak out, you make yourself a target. You make yourself a target. But God is going to protect you. Amen. That's what we see here. And it's a big lesson for us that as we seek to please God, it will set us in the direction opposite to the way the world is going. You know, and you have to stand against that flow. Servants of Christ must be ready to be peculiar and to establish God's standard of purity, love, and glory. Just like when Moses and Joshua were on the mountain, and Aaron had gone into idolatry, and Moses had to come down, and who is on the Lord's side? We must not stand for perversion. We must not accept adulteration of the word of God or in any way of the truth in our lives or our families. As we're going to look at Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 to 15. And the way to do it is to generate the power of God. Let's read it together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to some men, all of us. Okay? Next. Teaching us. So you see, that's why if the devil can change what is being taught, he can corrupt everything. That's why he does that. Because the way to make it pure is through the word. Look at teaching us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly where? In this present world. Next verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Next verse. Who gave himself for us, this is the purpose, that he might what? Redeem us from all, not some, all iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's why God kept us apart. Let's look at the next verse, verse 15. These things what? Speak and exhort and rebuke with what? All authority. Let no man despise thee. You have to stand for what is correct and say it with boldness, because that is what the word of God says. No, and we make no apologies for the word, so that people can be saved, because the word of God is a vehicle to rescue us from ungodliness, is to rescue us from perversion. So if we adulterate that, then it means that God cannot rescue people. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And we see an example here in Galatians 2 verse 11 to 14, where Apostle Paul had to stand, you know, on the word of God. Look at it, Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. This is somebody who was a senior apostle, so to speak. Someone who had become an apostle, or who had been with Jesus, you know, who was an apostle when he was still hauling people into prison. You know, Peter was doing miracles and healing people, you know, and walking in the power and the glory of God. But that was not, it's not about miracles or power. It's about obedience to the word of God and character of Christ, you know, and staying consistent with the truth of God's word. And so when Peter was swaying because of emotion and the praise of men, and brethren, these things are very important to understand. You know, there is a force in the world that makes you want to do what people consider to be normal. Don't let my own be too much. Don't let them talk about me. Don't let them say my own is too much. What is God saying? That is the key. It's not what men are saying. Our approval is coming from God, not from men. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we have to walk and live in the fear of God. And the God that you stand up for will cause all things to work together for your good. He's the same God. He's the same God. And it's so beautiful to please Him and glorify. Because when you do that, you lift Him up. Imagine the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said they must bow. And they said, respectfully, sir, we will not bow. Our God whom we serve is able to save us. And peradventure, He is unable to save us because we stand on the world. Well, we will still not bow, O King. And when they went and they made the fire seven times hotter, so the people that were throwing them in were dying, and they threw them in. But there was a fourth man in the fire. That fourth man is going to be with you. It's going to be with me. When you stand upon the word, when they say healing is not real again, that God does not heal again. No, I believe that healing is my portion. It is the children's bread. So you declare the confession with faith in your heart. You act upon the word in faith and you receive your healing. Because there will be a fourth man there with you, encouraging you, taking you through the whole process. And you will come out and your clothes will not be smelling of the fire. And guess what? They were promoted after that. So many times the way to our promotion is through standing up against public opinion and general opinion. So in your office, you know, in your home, you know, in your family, in your community, stand for what is right. Stand for the word of God and be prayerful, because that prayer is important, because what is coming against everybody is a spiritual force. And when you generate a counter force, the power of God that is stronger, it will swallow up that power. And when they make the fire hotter, the fire in you will swallow up the fire they put you in. Hallelujah. Our God is able. It's more than enough. Amen. So we see that. So the lesson here is that we overcome by intercession on our knees and revelation in God's word. Amen. All right. And he corrected him. Next verse. Let's just look at. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man. It was not after man. Next verse. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, next verse. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. What's the Apostle Paul telling us today? Let's go back to verse 11. He's telling us that the gospel that God gave him was not by man. I know this tells us that there is a human system and there's a divine system. It's very important to understand that. You know, men have their own way of doing things and God has his own way of doing things. And God's way is superior. And when it comes to ministry and come to the word of God, you know, coming to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's important that we do it God's way. Now, that does not mean God doesn't use Bible schools. God does use them, you know, but the question is, what is God's will for you? That is the important thing. He is saying here that, you know, he didn't go, you know, he wasn't man that taught him. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that taught him by revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is, as we have been taught, the light of God that God shines in our hearts from the Holy Spirit through our spirits upon our minds. It's not coming from, is as opposed to information from the senses, which is sense knowledge. Revelation is knowledge that comes directly from God. And it's illumination. It illuminates your mind. So you see the way God is seen. You understand the way God understands. Amen. For example, Joshua and Caleb had revelation. They went to the promised land, 12 spies, to search out the land. And when they got there, they saw that the land was good.
They saw that there were giants. They saw that, but there was revelation in the mind of Joshua and Caleb, information from God to let them know that all this is bread for you. But the people who are looking with sense knowledge were looking, were deceived in that they did not see what God was showing them. And it's very important to understand that, the fact that we are born again does not automatically shield us from satanic manipulation. If you are operating by what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what somebody said, it's most likely you are going to make a mistake. Because God doesn't operate by observation. The Bible says the kingdom of God does not come by observation. But the kingdom of God is within, by revelation. It comes from light from the Holy Spirit in our hearts, shining to show us the way that God wants us to go. So many times we do some things that may not make sense in the physical, but that is the way God wants you to go, and you will get the results even though you didn't go the way the men were going. It's so important to understand this, that we live our lives by revelation. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, it says, upon this rock of revelation will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's the foundation for the overcoming church. Revelation. If we don't have revelation, one is not able to stand. And we see this here, Paul using himself as an example from verse 13. Look at verse 13. Thank you. Look at verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it. Next verse. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. Above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Now, this was what he was taught. This was what men taught him. But what men taught him was taking him astray. He thought he was serving God, but he was opposing God. There are many times, brethren, where there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. May God open our eyes in Jesus' name. So what is God saying? God is saying that we need to operate by revelation in every area of our lives. Revelation in our relationship with God. Revelation in your relationship with your spouse, your husband. Revelation in your relationship with your children, with your brothers and your sisters. Revelation when you are relating to your friends. You do not choose and act and decide based on information you are seeing with your eyes alone. The key word is alone. It doesn't mean you don't use it, but you don't use it alone. You only use it when the light from God is saying, yes, it's okay to use it. Amen. All right. It's very important, and we also see the Apostle Paul here saying that he made progress. He profited in the Jews' religion above many of his equals. And many times we think that we are profiting. We are measuring ourselves by yardsticks that God is not using. So as far as he was concerned now, as by their own estimation, Paul was a very fervent Christian. He was a very zealous Christian. But he was actually, in actual fact, he was opposing God. In actual fact, he was resisting God. He was working against the purpose of God. Another example is Peter. 1 minute receiving revelation tells that revelation is continuous and progressive. It's something we must always continue to receive. Because 1 minute, he was able to identify that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next minute, when Jesus said that I am going, the Son of Man is going to be crucified on the cross in 3 days, and then, rise up from the dead, he said, this will not be unto you. See, it's very important that we are not led by our feelings. We are not led by what people said. We are not led by what the appearance looked like. We are led by what God is saying through the word. Amen.
That's what God is saying, you know. And it bears a lot of it bears mention here that in the Church of Jesus Christ, there you know, we can measure ourselves by what God is not using as a yardstick, by the number of branches, by how much money you have, by how many cars you have, by how big your business has grown. You know, these are not, that's not the yardstick of God's approval. The yardstick of God's approval is Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Let's look at it. Jeremiah chapter 9. It's important so that we can correct any distortion. That's what perversion is. Thus saith the Lord. Let's read it together. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Wisdom is not wrong, but to depend on wisdom is the problem. Amen. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, summarize that as the character of God, in the earth. For in these things I delight. To what degree is your character conformed to the image of Jesus' character? That is the place to boast. That is the yardstick. And then with that, any other thing. Wisdom, yes. Glory, yes. Wealth, yes. You know, but the key here is that we must stay with character. Love is the yardstick. How much is the love of God developed in us? And Paul was not developed in love of God. He was an accomplice to people's murder. He was hauling people and he was persecuting the church and wasting it. And so we see here that the devil is able to use us to discourage Christians. You know, slow down the work of God. Oppress, malign, slander the people of God. And you'll be thinking that you are doing God a favor. Bible says in the book in the Gospels, he says that a time will come when those that kill you will think that they are doing God's service. Let's look at the John chapter 16, verse 1. Because God wants to prepare us, you know, for this, so that we ourselves, we must be ready, you know, in our minds. Look, let's give it to me in the NIV, if you please. Thank you. John 16, verse 1. Let's read it together. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. Next verse. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. Next verse. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Next verse. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. So God is, you know, on Wednesday, Pastor was teaching us and preparing us that there's a persecution that is coming. And there's no need to be afraid of the persecution because God will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. But he will make a way of escape. Amen. The Bible tells us that. No, and the anger. But the key is that we must be prepared. We must be living right. We must be watching and praying. Because when we watch and pray, we enter into the secret place of the Most High. And in that secret place, Satan cannot touch us. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's important to understand that is where we are going. And that secret place, we enter it by revelation. It's not by attending a certain church. It's not by attending a certain church. All of us in church are protected. No. It is those who are watching and praying. Those who are having fellowship with God. And it's that in that communion, because Bible says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, I will keep him from the temptation that is coming upon the rest of the world. Hallelujah. So our love is set on loving him. And I want to ask us this morning, what is your motive for serving God? Are you seeking the praise of men? No.
And I've come to see that, you know, it's a question that is important for us to ask ourselves. Why are you really serving God as a Christian? I want God to bless me. I want God to provide for me. I want to pass my exams. I want to prosper. I want to marry. I want to be successful. You can do all that without God. There are people that have that without God. In that sense of being born again. So that's not the reason for being born again. So we're not being born again to get things. That's bread and fish, Christianity. And there's a place to be there. But God is asking us to step up. Hallelujah. God is saying that it's time to start loving Him for Himself. Loving God to please Him. You are now, and God is examining that motive. Look, sometimes the actions may be wrong, but the motive is what God is looking at. That motive, that's why God saved Rachel and her household. Hallelujah. I beg your pardon. I said Rachel. Rahab, I beg your pardon. Thank you. Rahab and her household. That's why God saved Rahab and her household. He saved her because the heart was right. What's the motive? It's the motive that saves Zacchaeus. It's the motive. We need to correct the motive to please Him who has called us. To set our affection on Him and things where He is. Amen? And that's what God is saying. Because when you do that, then you rise above the perversion. You rise above the distortion, which is what God wants us to do. Amen? You know, Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, it is that allowing the Christ nature to be built up in us. His life in our soul. His life in our body. So that we are more like Him. That is what God is talking about. And even the Apostle Paul is telling us that this is the example. He was going astray, doing it, you know, with his senses, but the motive was right. So God is looking at two things today. He's talking about our motive and then doing things by revelation. Areas of your life. Are you waiting on God about every area of your life? Are you looking for the will of God in areas of your life? That's what God is talking about. Don't just do things the way people are doing it. You know, there's the way they say it. You know, if you translate that, it means let's do it the way people are doing it so that we can get what people are getting. How do you know God has not ordained something better for you than what people are getting? So when you are using their model, how can you get the God's answer? The way to the truth doesn't begin with a lie. Amen. Mommy said, no, you shortchange yourself because you are using a worldly model. Christianity is to set a new standard. It's to break out of the mold of the world and start showing people that there's a new way of doing things. And as we do that, we lift God up. We lift God up. And when we lift God up, Bible says when He be lifted up, He will draw men unto Himself. So without saying anything, the way you live your life ministers to people. People can see the love of God in your life. They can see the way you respond in situations. They know that money is not the beginning and the end of everything in your life. And then they want to be like, we attract. That's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to attract people out of the world and let them, the Bible says, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Amen. This is what God is asking us to do, brethren. He wants, and you know, it's a shame because when you look at, the devil has always done this. But God is always delivering His own. And what God is saying to us today is that we need to change our motive. We need to start walking in the Word by spending time in God's Word. You know, to be able to know the will of God and operate by revelation with a heart that is submitted to God and authority. It's very important. Amen. If you look at the example of John the Baptist, we see the Bible says John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. Mention the prophet in the Old Testament. John was greater. The Bible says so. Ezekiel, greater. Moses, greater. Isaiah, greater. But he had so much. But because he did not submit, he did not submit to the truth of the living word that was revealed to him. It's a very serious issue, brethren. We must submit to truth. Whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient, we submit to it. That's the Davidic company. That is the company, the people that do the will of God when it's not convenient, when it's convenient. When you are not afraid, like unlike Peter, you're not afraid to do things, you know, even though influential people may be upset. Members of your family may be upset. They called Jesus and said, call him. His friends called him. His family called him. And then he answered them and said, them that hear the word of God and do it, they are my friends. They are my family. It's allegiance, brethren. It's loyalty to the truth of the word of God. And, no, and when we do that, then we cause things to change. There may be a separation, and there has to be. Bible says that no. How does it say? He says the heresies have been allowed. That those that are approved among you can be made manifest. It is in the midst of lies that we know what is true. So we must stand for the truth, speak the truth, live the truth. Show the truth in love by how we live. And when we do that, then there will eventually God will, whom we have honored, will now cause all things to work together for our good and bring back whatever it is we could have lost. But don't love your life unto the death. Don't try and save your life by compromising. That's what the Bible is saying to us today. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 15 as we begin to close. Okay? Right. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. How did he call him? By his grace. When you seek to please God, God will move. When God saw that motive was right, Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is set perfect, set to do the will of God when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, set to please God. God now moved. The same way he moved for Daniel. He set to do the will of God. Then God moved a whole empire. He moved and got him favor, you know, got him first favor with the people around him initially. Then favor spread to the rulers. And then after a while, Daniel was the one changing the rulers. No, and that's what God is saying. God is saying that all he needs is for us to stand on what the Bible says with revelation. And with the motive to please God. And then God does the rest. So we see that God called him by his grace. And it's important to mention that we are saved by grace. We are not saved by training. No, Paul was not saved by training. He was trained by Gamaliel. But that training didn't save him. God had to knock him off that high horse. And show him that you need to humble yourself. And made him blind to the way that he was going before, and then opened his eyes to see a new way, and then made him somebody who was turning others from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's the will of God. So it's important, you know, that we all have to go through that shift of, you know, not going the way your mind is telling you to go. Always inquire, always ask, always acknowledge. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. And then he will give you light about the way you're supposed to go. Amen.
All right? So we see it here. So we're not saved by training. The way to go is not the way you did it before. It's the way you are asking God now, and God is telling you to do it. That's the way to go. Amen? Amen. So we see that we're saved, you know, by the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is the favor of God that causes God to give us divine life in our human spirits through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. That cleansing gets us born again. But it's not enough. You know, it's not enough to just be born again. We must keep walking in grace. We must keep growing in grace. Because as we grow in grace, then we begin to know the only true God. And then we begin to labor to do spiritual work. So we need grace to know God. Because grace gives us life. Life is the nature of God. That life. And you can't know God. Bible says in John 17 verse 3, "This is eternal life, that I may know him." No, and his son Jesus Christ. You know, you cannot know God. That's what he says there. You cannot know God. You know, many times people think they are serving God. Paul thought he was serving God. There are Christians today that will be giving testimony about things that they are calling God, but it's not God. Because it doesn't tally with the word of God. They do things by dishonesty, by deceit, and then they call it God. Because they feel good. Because their emotions, you know, doesn't. So the five physical senses have deceived them into thinking that they're actually doing what is the will of God. May God have mercy on us. God is saying we must not fall into that trap in Jesus' name. We must learn to submit to the word of God when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Sometimes you need to lose gold plated in order to get real gold. We need to lose because brethren, God is testing. He is sifting men's hearts. So there will be real tests with real money involved, real opportunities involved. And the devil will tell you, if you pass this up, how do you know it's going to come again? You have to answer back that if I have to do this to get it, if I have to cheat, I have to lie, I have to hide something, then it cannot be God. Bible says we should renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craft. There are Christians that get blessings with craftiness. And then they come and give testimony. Shame. That's not God. That's not God. And God, that's why the Bible says, the only true God is a true God. And God wants his own people to magnify him, to lift him up by grace. It's by walking in grace. And two things we must not do with grace. We must not receive it in vain. And we must not frustrate the grace of God. How do we receive the grace of God in vain? If we receive the grace of God without operating spiritual law, you don't open your mouth. You don't believe in your heart. You don't speak it with your mouth so that it can come to pass. Bible says, Romans 10:10. Please give me Romans 10:10. This is how to operate by grace. And you need to do this. Otherwise, you are receiving the grace of God in vain. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I don't know what it is you want to grow into. You want to grow into a greater level of obedience, a greater level of humility, a greater level of controlling your temper. I don't know what it is. You want to go to a greater level of being honest. Then the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's grace. That's how it works. And if you don't do that, which is what the brethren were doing in Galatia, they were using works. They had gone back to using their works. He said, no, it starts with grace, then it's followed by works. It's not grace or works. It is works by grace. That's what it was. That's the point he was trying to make. And then the second thing we found with frustrating the grace of God is to seek grace in any other way apart from submission to God. But we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5.
First Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. How do we get grace? Humility. When you submit your will to the will of God, submit your will to the word of God, you get grace. And that grace is on the inside. But it gives you the power to do spiritual work. Read the word. Study the word. Pray in the spirit. Commune with God. Pray with travail. And that grace now begins to cause you to grow. And you begin to know the true God. And then when you know the true God, you can see all that is false in your life and begin to take care of it, so that you can now be a standard that God can raise up for the rest of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Let us talk to God this morning. The Lord is inspiring us to come up hither, to live a life without compromise, and to stop perverting. We are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the nation. If we're going to overcome corruption in the nation, we must overcome corruption in our own hearts. And it is by grace. Allow the power of God and the light of God to shine in the face of Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our lives. It's a message of love. He wants to help us so that we can be set on that path to glory. And we can prepare ourselves, clean our garments, so that when He comes, we'll be ready.
We bow our knees before Your throne. We know our lives.
We know our lives.
Hallelujah.
hand on our hearts. Pray, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. And I draw near to you in humility, with intercession, and in revelation of your word, in order to please you, to lift you high above the flesh, above the world, above all earthly things, so that my life will bring you pleasure and you will be glorified in my life, in my household, and through me you will enforce your dominion in my life, in my house, in my community, in my nation, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful, to walk in life, light, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapa kasandeke levebedi kosandea roba baba kosa rose kanto do do domba kasande shenge devebedi kamba roba katume janga de baba bosai jopa lava katoto bede de 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 roba baba kosama romat romon roba baba baba konde roba baba baba katanto to 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 baseka shenge de 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 kangalande rose kamba Toma banga tono teda rababa jemba roba baka tole roba boka maka so beleka da madola menga baba baba kota ba roba baba kota mesa zeka leveberika na nama. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're trusting God for your healing, just raise up that hand just a little bit to God. Let's let it so that God can see you. Heavenly Father, we send your word of healing under covering of our fathers in faith to everyone who's believing you. Bible says he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We bind the spirit of infirmity and oppression in the name of Jesus. And we send the word of healing, the word of life, Lord, healing and life in your mortal flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.